Psalm 21. As we finished up last week with Psalm 20, and as we get into it, not all the Psalms are in sequential order, but in some of my study I've done, there's some that say that these two are. And as we get into it more, you kind of see they do go together. I don't know that that's going to, I think one just complements the other. In other words, there's nothing deep about that, just what some believe. It may not be true, I don't know. But I've seen some things that coordinate between the two of them here. And we'll start here with reading the Psalm 21. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips, Selah. That Selah there, that think about that. That last part of that verse. Has not withholden the request of his lips. Verse 3, for thou preventest him with blessings of goodness, and thou settest a crown of gold upon his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Verse 8, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall destroy, thou shalt destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they were not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon the strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power. See, David here in this psalm is a lot of what he talks about here, especially in the first part, is he's referring to himself as a king, but he's also giving honor to God for the blessings that he's bestowed upon him as the king. This is a psalm of David, of course, and it's of praise and thanksgiving. It goes along with the previous psalm, chapter 20, which I already said. And just like we did in Psalm 20, we're going to divide this into two parts, two main points, and then we break down in between there. But the first one that we will start looking at today is found in verses 1 through 6, and that's the delight of the king. And then verses 7 through 13, we see the defending of the king, because it kind of changes gears here in verse 7 and 8. And you see that as we read there. We see here in, as we look at the delight of the king, there's two things that we want to look at. The one we'll start looking at today, and that is the cause in his delight. There's eight causes here that cause delight, that prompt delight or joy in David's life, and they also can prompt joy and delight in our lives. We'll look and see what we can apply to our lives today. You know, and I thought about this, and I thought as we study and we look at David, sometimes it's it's hard because sometimes we compare ourselves and we say, well, David was a king. You know, we may not have no, you know, I don't have a whole lot of problem relating to David in his early life. He grew up a shepherd. I didn't grow up a shepherd, but I grew up on a farm and kind of, you know, there's coincidences there and everything, but I've never been a king. The second part of David's life, or a majority of David's life, he was a king, and it's hard for me to relate to that, but a couple of verses came to my mind. Turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. See what John said here about us and him. It's a familiar verse, but it's good to look at it. And as we relate ourselves to David here in Revelation chapter 1, we'll start in verse 4 here. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood. Can you identify with that this morning? That puts you with John. If you can identify with that, I can identify with that. Verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. John says we're kings and priests. So we can identify with David as a king. Although it physically may not feel that way for you and I, but in Christ we are made kings and priests. John says it here. He said those are washed, that unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's you and I. This is John's not talking about Israel here. He's talking about those washed in the blood. So we truly are kings and priests. So we can relate to David. That's just a little side note there, sub point, whatever you want to call it. Back in Psalm chapter 21. Go through this and see what we can find. We'll start looking at these delights this morning, the cause in the delight. For find the first one here in verse 1, it says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. First cause I see here is the power in the cause. There's power we see here. He said, the king shall joy in thy strength. The king shall joy in thy strength. The power of God will bring much joy to his people. If we just look back there, we were in 20, and you'll see how 20 relates to this. Here in 20 and verse 5 of Psalms, says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord shall fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I, the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. There's much power here in the cause. We see that here in Psalm 20 and verse 5 and 6, there's power, God's power. God's power preserves and protects his people, and it also causes many blessings to flow upon them. He says, the king shall joy in thy strength. David, speaking here, or singing this psalm to the Lord, he says, the king, speaking of himself, shall joy in thy strength, the strength of the Lord. He's joying in what the Lord has done for him as a king. We're there in Psalms, a couple pages over to Psalm 28. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Bible says here, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him." He says here in this psalm, another psalm of David, that he's going to greatly rejoice and praise the Lord for the power that God has given him, the deliverance. You see that here, he says, "The Lord is my strength," that's power, "my shield," that's protection. And he says, "My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped." That's provision there as well. "Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise him." Goes on in verse 8, "The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed." Talking about the power in the cause here. The fact that it said back in Psalm 21, "The king shall joy in thy strength." David was joying, his joying and rejoicing was in the strength of the Lord. You and I need to joy and have strength, rejoice in the strength of the Lord. We sung that song in opening there, "Revive Us Again." With that reviving that we sing about, that we desire, that reviving is caused by something that's stronger than you. You know, if you want something revived, you want to give life to it again, you want to reboost it, you're going to do it with something greater. As a mechanic, and you guys, even if you guys aren't mechanics, in your home now, it's a staple in your tool closet or your tool shed or whatever, is cordless tools. They've kind of overtaken the mechanical and construction world here in recent years. Cordless tools, they all take batteries, and they run down, and they need revived. So if you just take that battery and set it next to another battery, it's not going to do anything. But if you hook it up to a charger, and you hook that battery to it, to that charger, there's a greater power there that's going to charge that battery up and give it life again. That's the strength that David's talking about here, strength in the Lord. In Psalm 95, you can turn there, Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." I wrote down here, it feels good to know that our God has strength and power to deliver each and every one of us. We can, and also here we see that we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yes, we know that New Testament verse, "You make a joyful noise unto the Lord." But think about what it says here about the joyful noise. It says, let us, in verse 1, "Come, let us sing unto the Lord." We're singing to him, not to the world. "Sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." The stability of our salvation is the one that we should sing to. "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him." We can make a joyful noise unto him. Now that's, if we say it's a joyful noise in our judgment of it, that's one thing. But what I get out of this here is that it is a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's joyful to him. You know, if, this example pops into my head, when the young people are up here, whether it's the guys or the girls singing or the guys and the girls singing, as a parent, some of my children involved in that, it brings joy to me. Yes. And others as well, not just my children, but the others up here. It brings joy to me, especially to know that young, there's a younger generation that wants to serve God, that wants to bless God in song. And, you know, it's even more encouraging than when you get them to the point where some of them want to speak and give a message or something. It gives you hope. Me, as I'm not old by any means, but as a, I guess, middle age, you can call me, I don't know. I hope I'm a little over middle age, because I don't plan on living another 57 years. To me, at my age, it brings joy to me. I thought Brother Ed mentions a lot of times the children. He thanks the Lord a lot of times in his prayer for the children of the church. Life, new life coming in. And that's something. It means something to me that it did not used to mean. It brings joy to me when I see them up here. You know, when right now we don't have a little children's choir going on, but when we do, there's little ones singing unto the Lord. It gives you some hope for the future, hope in this dark world. But the fact that they can sing unto the Lord, that brings joy to the Lord. Just as it brings joy to me as a father, or even as a just a member here of the church, and other children as well, or younger than I up here singing, it brings joy. So it brings joy to me. If that can bring joy to me, think about that, preacher. We can bring joy to the Lord just by singing psalms unto him. And that's encouraging to me, and I hope it's encouraging to you to know that, you know what, we can do something that brings joy to the Lord. And sometimes we get so caught up, and I say we, it's a lot of times it's me, on the things that I do that bring grief to the Lord. When I sin and I do wrong, and I know it brings grief to the Holy Spirit of God, which is the third person in the Godhead, so we're bringing grief to the Lord one way or another, and we do, and thankfully, there is forgiveness with the Lord, and you can take care of that with him. He can forgive you, and you can move on. Sometimes we will focus on that kind of stuff, but maybe it's better that we just focus on the fact that we can sing and bring joy to the Lord. Bring joy to his heart. As I mentioned, sitting there and listening to the singing or the preaching or whatever may be of those younger than me, and it bringing joy to me, knowing that there's hope for this world to come. When I move on off the scene, there's some hope to carry on, to keep the lights on, to keep the doors open here. Just as that brings joy to me, how much more can it bring joy to the Lord when we sing unto him? Amen. There's a cause here. There's power in the cause of God, and it brings joy to him when we sing unto him. The second thing we want to look at here is also found in verse 1. I had something else wrote down, but I've went as far as I can go with that one. I'm not going to give the, I had another example wrote down, but we'll go on to point number 2. And we see that back in Psalm 21. I like it how when you write your notes down and put things together and you think you know how it's going to go, and then the Lord says you don't need to say that. And you just keep on moving on. The second thing we see is found in verse 1, where it says, thy salvation here, where's the second part? O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice? We've kind of expounded on that some already. But we see here, this shows the preservation in the cause. We've seen power in the cause. There's preservation in the cause. We see here the blessing of preservation or salvation here. Salvation should cause us to joy should cause much joy to come to God's people. As we think about the Lord and Him saving us, hopefully you're saved. Hopefully you've trusted the Lord as your Savior. And your salvation should bring much joy to you and much preservation here, as the word salvation means to be preserved. Salvation here, this particular text, means deliverance. That's being preserved, being delivered. Hence, aid, victory, and prosperity. David says here, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice?" David, again, speaking of himself here, talking to the Lord or praying to the Lord or singing to the Lord, whatever it is he's doing here, he says, "How greatly shall he rejoice?" He just kind of kicks it into another gear, and he said, "You know what? It's a good thing that the king shall have joy in the strength of the Lord." But then he brings it up another notch, and he says, "In thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice?" Pick it up another notch. He wants to rejoice more. There's preservation in the cause here. The third thing we see here is found in verse 2 then, and it says, "Thou hast given him his heart's desire." Here we find the passion in the cause. The passion in the cause. Some believe this psalm is in sequence, which we said before, with Psalm 20. That being the case, then we can interpret it as thanksgiving and the answering of David's prayer from back in Psalm 20. And verse 8 and 9, he says, "They are brought down and fallen," of chapter 20, "they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call." David was calling for God to take care of his enemies back in chapter 20, or Psalm 20, and he gets the answer here in 21, and he's praising the Lord for what he has done with much thanksgiving for answering his prayer. Victory was David's heart's desire here. He said, "Thou hast given him his heart's desire." Again, David speaking, I'm not that great in English stuff and terms, but I say, is that third person they call that? Or say, I don't know. You don't know either, do you? My wife should know this, but we're not going to get that technical. I can't. I'll talk myself right in the corner real quick. But I've read some of that in my study of this. But nevertheless, again, as I've been saying, David speaking to the Lord of himself here, and he says, "Thou hast given him his heart's desire." Not talking so much about the Lord's desire here, but David's heart's desire, and the fact that the Lord had answered his prayer and gave him his heart's desire. What was his heart's desire? That was back in chapter 20, that he took down the enemy and that he took care of the enemy for David. You and I have enemies the same. Maybe not the same as David, but we have enemies in our lives, and we have things that our hearts should desire that we be delivered from, or that we get the victory over. Victory was David's heart's desire. I see here, and I feel that David's desire lined up with God's desire. Therefore, his desire was granted to him. We have to be careful with our desires. You know, we're having graduation service tonight, and I think that's a big step for the boys tonight, the young men. It's a big step. It's a milestone in life. It's something I know in particular that Nathan's been looking forward to for some time, and I'm sure the Hayes boys as well. I remember when I graduated, I couldn't wait to get out. Another coincidence between me and Nathan. I don't know what he'll say tonight, but I do know that he is thankful to be done with school. Unfortunately, Nathan, school has just begun because you're ever learning the rest of your life. And if you ever stop learning, you'll stop living. You gotta keep learning, to keep up with things, to keep going. But the 12 years is over, so to speak. But it'll just be different from here on out. But I too could not wait for that time to come. And how did I get on that again? It was desire. That's how I got on that. The heart, our heart's desires. We got to be careful that they line up with God's desires. As a young man, there's many things you can desire, and young ladies as well. I can relate to young men because I was one at one time a day. But there's many desires that we may want or we may pray for, but we must make sure our desires line up with God's. If our desires don't line up with His, most likely He's not going to give them to us. Most likely. But sometimes He'll let us have our heart's desire. And then we pay for it. There's this thing, this is just the quickest example I can think of right now. This is not in the notes, but there's this thing in this world today called credit. And that's something else that's going to really start now, Nathan, is the bombardment of credit card offers that you will get over the next couple years. Actually, the next many years, I still get them. I got a call the other day, and most of those calls I don't even answer, but every now and then I'll entertain one. I have a couple staple things that I say, but lately I've been answering the phone, "Hello, you've reached Donald J. Trump's voicemail," and it's silence, you know. But you say that's a lie, but it is kind of fun to mess with them. But I got one the other day, and they left voicemail, and I checked the voicemail, and it said, "We've seen you've been inquiring about a personal loan, and we can help you." And I'm like, "I didn't inquire about no personal loan." But the credit, you can. When I'm not straying too far here, I'm still in desire. Our desires can get us in trouble because there is a certain amount of credit that's acceptable, I suppose, in this world. But it has to be very limited. It's hard to buy a house in this world anymore without. Yeah, with cash, it's hard. You follow Dave Ramsey close enough, you can. But I don't know. But nonetheless, credit will get you your desire. Your desire. Yeah. You hear me? Credit will get you your desire. But that desire might not line up with God's desire. And so you'll get what you wanted, but you got to pay for it. And trust me, after many payments in my life on different things over the years and still making some, the new wears off really quick. And all of a sudden, you're paying for something that's, almost wore out when you get it paid for. And so therefore, that's an example of our desires not lining up with God's desire, but yet He'll answer that desire. The fourth thing, the fourth cause we're going to look at here, we got a couple minutes, we'll go over this one, that'll get us halfway through those eight. It says here in verse 3, For thou preventest him with blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of gold upon his head. He said, thou preventest him with blessings of goodness. The word preventest there means to proceed, to meet for help. I see God coming on the scene here and meeting David with his heart's desire. And by giving him his heart's desire, he blessed him with goodness. We see here the purity in the cause. The choice blessing from God is righteousness. In righteousness, there's purity. The purity in the cause here, back in Psalm 18. You just turn over there, that's not far. We went through this a while back. Psalm 18, verse 17 through 19. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Again, David couldn't handle it, but God could. He could with God's help. Verse 18, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. When, back in chapter 21, where he says, thou preventest me or went before me, he proceeds and he's there to help. There's purity in that. Purity in the cause. When God is there, things are pure and clean. God can't reside where things are dirty. God's going to bless David, and he does here in this psalm. And he says, for thou preventest him with blessings, or goes before him, with blessings of goodness. That's just the first part of the verse there. But he says, David, again, testifying, saying, the Lord has went before me. He's met me. He's given me help. And with his help, he's given me blessings of goodness. In Psalm 31, in verse 19, it says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. There's a purity in the cause. And when God is there with you to meet your need, like David, like he met David's need here, he blesses him. And those blessings are pure. And he is there to help us in time of need. But in 31 and 19, he says here, he said, how great is thy goodness? Again, David there testifying, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. It doesn't just stay, that's not just for the children of Israel either. It says, he's laid it up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Again, the word trust, the Old Testament is the word faith in the New Testament. We have faith in him to deliver us. He will deliver us. And we'll go on. We're out of time this morning, but we'll pick up next week on the second four causes here in this first part of the chapter, and then we'll go on from there and see how we can relate to David as well. It's a blessing to see him, David, in his life. We see how he trusted the Lord as a young man and as a young shepherd boy, and how he relied on the Lord in those beginning years of his life. But even as he was brought to be the king, and we'll get to that here next week, as he was brought to be the king, he still trusted in God. There's many things, there's some things in David's life that we love to point out that was wrong. But if you look at those times, he wasn't trusting God at those times for the direction that he needed. So we'll go on, look at this next week and see what the Lord has for us. Appreciate your prayers as we look into God's word and as we study it. that we'll get something that will help us all. Let's pray.